Yeah. Right. No, so we don't pass. The Aruch HaShulchan says that all you have to do is start. What?
But like,
yes and no. I mean, sometimes you have shuls who try to really come close to the line.
What about those people that just never saw
it? Yeah, so the Hasidic communities have a practice never to daven bizman. The Kozhe Glover we mentioned likes to write tshuvas to defend every difficult Hasidic practice. And the Kozhe Glover defends this practice of never davening bizman as well. And he says something to the effect of, well, you know, Zman Kriyishma is only an opportunity to really be Yotzei the Mitzvah properly, but if you're going to daven after the Zman and you'll have all the proper kavanas because you're davening late and you're preparing appropriately, so then it's okay. And technically speaking, by Hasidim, that's what they do. The Rebbe would daven starting at 10 o'clock every day. Right? And on Shabbos as well. No, the Rebbe Shachris in 770 was always at 7 a.m. I know, Tehillah, I'm not supposed to say anything about 770, but we'll say it anyway. But the Rebbe was, first of all, learning all night, and from 7 until 10, the real Hasidim are studying Tanya. So they are preparing for davening. It's not a justification. It's very difficult. Practically speaking, it's a problem. I don't know a heter. The Aruch HaShulchan's heter won't even work when you start davening at 10 a.m., this is around as late as Zman Kriyat Shema gets. It was like 9:55 today. Right? It's hard to get beyond that. I don't know. For the Aruch HaShulchan applied to all Zmanim. The Aruch HaShulchan is saying that what this Tosfos means, that all you need to do is start the curse, shows that any Zman, all you have to do is begin. I don't think the Aruch HaShulchan is accepted lahalacha. Sometimes interesting shitos are not what we paskin like. That's just the way it goes. Okay, should we go on? Zakti gemar weiter. Emas rasach. This is three lines before the lines get wide. Emas is the last word on the line. Emas rasach. When does God get angry? Amar baya betlas shay kamaisa ki chivra karbalta de tarnagola. Okay? Who wants to translate that? Shani?
When the red part becomes white.
When the red part becomes white. Apparently, a tarnagola has a crown that's like red on it. Now, there's a difference between roosters and chickens in terms of the type of crown that they have. Any of you know this, Torah? I don't. My kids know this stuff. I don't know. But apparently, when the crown becomes white, so that's when God is angry. So, frek the Gemara, but ko shaita v'shaita michver chivra. The Gemara asks, but one second, but it always gets white. It happens all the time. So my answer is no. Ko shaita is beisuraiki sumki. Ahi shaita les beisuraiki sumki. All the time, there are certain red streaks in the crown of the tarnagolta. That's the female chicken. But ahi shaita, the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, there's no red streaks. Rabbi Shua ben Levi have a mitzar lehahu mina. Rabbi Shua ben Levi had a certain min have a mitzar lebekroy. That the min would what? What's mitzar lebekroy? Question him in? In Sukkim. Right? Remember, a min is an early Christian. As we've pointed out on Amat Aleph, the early Christians are trying to bring proofs from Sukkim against Judaism. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi has a min who is being mitzar him, yom echad nakatar negola v'ukma bein kar eda arse. One day he takes a tarnagol and he puts it by the legs of his bed. V'iyein boy, and he's looking at it. Sava kimata he shaita alatye. He thinks when that moment comes that the chicken's head is entirely red, I'm gonna curse him. Right at that moment, he's like waiting. I'm gonna curse him. Kimata he shaita nimnim. Right, when that moment comes, he fell asleep. He dozed off. Amar shmamina lab orech ara lemeber hachi v'rachma v'komais uksiv. Uksiv gam anosh l'tzadik lo tov. He says, it's not proper to do this. One, because v'rachma v'komais, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanos on everybody. This simple reading of the Gemara is that even the min, you're not supposed to curse. Even this early Christian, don't curse him. Right? Two, right, gamanosh l'tzadik lo tov, meaning when a tzadik is the cause of punishment, it's not good for the tzadik. You don't want to be responsible for causing the punishment. Okay, so the way we learn this Gemara, why is it that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi ultimately said it's lav orechara? First of all, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi takes the fact that he dozed off as a siman min hashamayim that you're not supposed to curse. Whether or not we take things that happen in the natural world as a siman min hashamayim is an interesting issue in general, no? Dr. Kandelfogel could probably give you better makoros on this issue than I can, but let me just give you a stira in the Tshuvas Melamed Lehoel, no? The Melamed Lehoel is Reb David Zvi Hafman. Chelek Gimel Simen Yotes. Reb David Zvi Hafman has a tshuva about whether two brothers are allowed to marry two sisters. It says in the Tzavah of Reb Yehuda HaChosid, it says in the Will of Reb Yehuda HaChosid, that two brothers are not supposed to marry two sisters. Reb David Zvi Hafman tells a story that there was a great guy in Reb Avram Bing. Reb Avram Bing was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, who actually was the first majorly Talmud Chacham who moved to America. He became a Rav in Baltimore. And Reb Avram Bing had two brothers who married two sisters. Apparently, on the way to the second wedding, the horse that's carrying the whole wedding party with like all the dresses and the suits and everything, the horse goes nuts and turns over, and the whole wedding party gets lost. So question, how do you interpret this episode?
Lost or died.
What?
Lost or died.
I mean, I think that the wedding party got lost in the sense of all of the dress, everything got dirty. Like everything got in the mud. Got, well, technical term, yucky. Right? So, Reb Avram Bing, according to Reb David Zvi Hafman, gets up, and he says, it's a patch from Reb Yehuda HaChassid, let's go and get married. In other words, he did not take it as a simen min hashamayim, the fact that the horse is turned over, that maybe I'm not supposed to allow my two sons to marry two sisters. Right? He says it's a patch from Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid says not to do it, but it's halachically perfectly permitted. So far, so good? Next tshuva in Melamed Lehoil, the end of Chelek Aleph, Simen, I don't remember if it's Kuf Beis or Kuf Gimel. I didn't look it up. It's either Kuf Beis or Kuf Gimel. Rabbi David Zvi Hafman has a tshuva as follows. You know, there's a machlokes between the Ramah and the Taz about Motzei Shabbos Chanukah at home. Do you make Havdalah before Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah, or do you light Neiros Chanukah before you make Havdalah? Right? So, the practice usually has been that people did the flip. In other words, that in shul you do Havdalah last, at home you do Havdalah first. Right? That is the standard practice. Reb David Zvi Hafman himself felt that that practice is not preferred, and you should be consistent, and both in shul and at home, you should do Havdalah last. So, Reb David Zvi Hafman is prepared to do this, but then, that Motzei Shabbos, he skips Ato Chanon Tanu and Ma'ariv. And the Taz writes that you're only allowed to do Hadlokas Neres Chanukah before Havdalah if you said Ato Chanon Tanu. If you didn't say Ato Chanon Tanu Ma'ariv, you can't do it. So David Zvi Hafman writes, again, you could look it up. It's Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Beis, or Kuf Gimel. He says, you know what? After this happened, I realized that maybe I was not correct in assuming that the Taz is how we paskin rather than the Ramah. And therefore, Zakhtar David Zvi Hafman, I looked back into the sugya and I answered all the kashas I had on the Ramah. And end of conversation, you should do what the Ramah said. So, what is interesting over there is, and I remember years ago, I had this kasha on the stira and the tshuvas in Reb David Zvi Hafman. I asked this to a few people. They're like, oh, that's very interesting. I don't know the answer to this. I don't know the real answer to this stira in Reb David Zvi Hafman's tshuvas, but our Gemara is saying something very similar, no? Reb Yeshua ben Levi is taking something as a simen min hashamayim, no? The fact that I dozed off for a minute shows that my plan was wrong. My plan to curse them in is wrong.
Why did the halachic, like the second Jubah, the halachic justification as to why maybe it is that we curse with Zag, meaning like, as opposed to
but think about it. He had developed a whole theory that the Taz is right and the Rama is wrong, and he's about to act on it, and then he skips Atochanan Tanu. So he says, oh, the fact that I skipped Atochanan Tanu forced me to look back at the Sugya and to realize that the Rama might be right.
But his ultimate decision to act on that was because he understood the Sugya differently, not because something happened.
That's true in some ways, but like, I'll say it like this. How come Rabbi Avram Bing, after the horse turned over, didn't say, oh, you see, maybe I was too chutzpidik and I'm supposed to really paskin like Rabbi Yehuda Achos and not allow my two sons to marry two sisters? No? By the way, Rabbi Yehuda Achos has like all these funny rules about not getting married to someone that has the same name as your mother, your father. It all comes from the tzavah of Rabbi Yehuda Achos. Traditionally speaking, the Noid of Yehuda has a tshuva where he says, I don't understand why people are asking me shaylos about the tzavah of Rabbi Yehuda Achosid, which is a completely non-halachic issue. They don't ask me about like normal halachic questions about like ribbis and stuff like that. That's the Noid of Yehuda writes in a tshuva. But this Gemara, I think, says that that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is taking it as a simin min hashamayim. There's a whole literature about whether we take natural phenomena as a simon min hashamayim to change our psak halacha. It's an interesting literature. It's worth a good shir at some point. So far, so good? Oh. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, I'm not going to curse them because lav ayrechara. It's not proper to curse. Why is it not proper to curse? So there are, I believe, four explanations as to why it's not proper to give the curse. How does Rashi learn?
Like you're saying it's impossible for you to figure out the exact moment.
And it's not proper to try to do this trick to figure out the exact time, meaning that what? That it really would work, right? But it's not the right thing to do because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry at one time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obviously trying to hide it, and I shouldn't try to figure out exactly when that time is. That's Rashi's approach. Correct? How does Taisus learn? Hi, Talia.
It's almost as if you're trying to play God and like tell him when it's time to punish somebody.
Well, yeah, but more precisely, not just play God.
It wouldn't work. But you don't get to decide.
Say it better. Tosfos writes,
God will punish when it's right for him to punish.
It's not right to have a person use God for a punishment. You see the way Tosa says it? Mikol makom, in the Tosa Shema Mina, Mikol makom kama basachi Shema Mina lav arachara, ki lo haya lo lidchok bidei shamayim o lahanish, misha enam rotzen lahanish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to punish them. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to punish this man, harbesh luchem lamakom. God could, right? We could be creative. God could do lots of things to punish this guy. But God is not doing that. I want to give a curse so that God should punish? Lavoy rechara. It's not proper for a person to give a curse and to use the Ribbono Shel Olam to do a curse, to curse you. Micha?
Okay, I just don't, as in, meaning, mashma from that is that if you do curse in that time, even Hashem doesn't want to, then he will.
It's almost like Tzadik goes there v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. Had he given the curse, it would have worked. But it's not proper to use the Ribbono Shel Olam to do your dirty work. I think that's what Tosis is saying. Talia, yeah.
We daven for that type of stuff with our enemies all the time. Is it, why is it different because now we're making a curse as opposed to just davening for God to
Okay, so apparently, some of the Mefarshim say as follows. They ask Akasha, how come Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, was allowed to curse the Mitzri and kill him? Isn't that also, or, right, Moshe pronounced the Shem HaMeforash. So some say, oh, the Shem HaMeforash, that's like a sword, right? And Moshe is killing through the Shem HaMeforash, as opposed to a curse, which is that I'm getting HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do it for me. Others say that the idea is, the way the Taisvis Rabbeinu Ochanan says it, let me just read his Lashon, is it's machish pamalya shomala, the dochik lahanish bidei shamayim. I think the assumption is that like the Nefesh HaChaim has, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a certain amount of connections to this world. If I use up one of the connections in the wrong way, that's machish pamal yishamala, I'm weakening the Ribbono Shel's connection to the world. And that's what I'm not supposed to do. I'm not sure, but according to Tosfos, it's clear that the problem is that you're using God. Shani, you're very patient.
But then at the same time, a lot of people like will go to different rebbeim to get brachos, let's say they will earth for someone, and then they'll tell them to do something that'll bring their...
So apparently, the only concern is when I get God to do my dirty work, if God is going to curse
but
for me.
Technically doing it because it's our job to make sure that we're doing...
Thinking about this. Maybe the pshat in the Tosfos is as follows. It's not just that you're using God, but you're using God for your own personal thing. Maybe Yeshua ben Levi has a min who is bothering him. No?
Yeah, but people
so he says, oh, I want him to die. Now, on some ways, that's like personal. Right? He bothers me. You know what? As the expression goes, man up. Get over it. How come he doesn't do that? The teretz is he doesn't want to. And you're not supposed to use God to do a curse, right, when for your own personal thing. I'm not sure. I'm just...
They do that all the time, like, especially people that, like, other people see as, like, so close to Hashem that, like, they know what's going on and everything.
Maybe. And maybe it's a problem of lav or echare. Maybe according to Avodah Zarah daf dalet amud beis, you're not supposed to do that. Hi, Michal.
They're not
going. Is there a nafgamina? In other words, I think according to Rashi, there is zero isser to have God do your dirty work for you. It's only in this one case where you're trying to be mechave in the exact moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, that's the isser. Okay.
And then if it were in any... if it were a different case where it's not dafka in a...
So then it would be okay according to Rashi. It's the Isser according to Rashi is only to find that exact moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry. That's the only Isser. Now, the way our Gemara is printed, which is not in the original Kisvei Yad, it says Verachem Aval Kol Ma'asav Ksiv. That line of Verachem Aval Kol Ma'asav, the Gemara in both Metziah, Pei Dalet, Pei Hei, uses in the following way, that once upon a time, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi like stepped on a bug and killed the bug, and the Gemara says he started to suffer. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi had terrible Yisurin, right? The famous Gemara in Ksubas Daf Kuf Gimel, when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is about to be Nifter, right? And he calls his Talmidim around, and he came back as like a ghost and a kiddush for his family, right? Ashgabta the Rebbe is like a whole famous sugya, and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is suffering terribly. And one of the reasons why he suffered terribly, the Gemara says, is because he stepped on the bug and he killed the bug, he hurt a bug or something. And Verachamav al komaisav ksiv. This is something that like one of my daughters would love. When my daughters doesn't allow me to kill any creatures in the house, I have to admit I'm not so frum, I kill bugs. What can I do? But bugs are yucky. Now, it could be that by invoking that Gemara, Verachamav al komaisav, what a Gemara means to do is as follows. Our Gemara means to say that the Isser that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi did is he took this chicken and he tied it up to the bed. It's like a degree of Tzav Alechayim on the chicken, no? Maybe that's the Isser.
What else? What was he doing for 3 hours staring at the chicken?
What?
It's such a waste of time.
Yes.
But in his bed, like, why is he chilling?
Apparently this guy is really bothering him tremendously. This min is on his case, like something fierce.
And like davened for these people to stop bothering him, and it came to the conclusion of he can't do it anymore, and this is what he's trying to do. Like, I don't think that he's just sitting around saying, "Let me try this out so God can punish
me." It's a funny Gemara. I admit the funniness of it, but I think that's what it says. Okay, fine. Now, Tosfos over here, Dibar Maschil Shema Mina, deals with the question that the Gemara later on in Avodah Zarah speaks about Minin. And Akum, and a sugya of Moridin Velomailan. Moridin Velomailan is as follows. If you are walking down the street, and there is an uncovered manhole cover, and you see a guy in front of you, are you allowed to push the guy into the manhole cover and have the guy expire? So what's the halacha? The Gemara distinguishes between Minin and Akum, no? Goyim lo moridin v'lo ma'ilon. Minim moridin v'lo ma'ilon. Right? Minim moridin v'lo ma'ilon means that if you see a min, right, or a musser, the Gemara says, a musser is like the worst Jew in traditional society. That's the Jew who hands everyone over to the authorities. So the din is that a min and a musser moridin v'lo ma'ilon, you see them in the street, right, and you just push him nicely, gently into the hole, down. And by the way, below Milan means if you're walking down the street and you hear some guy screaming, let me out, right? Take me, save me. You're not supposed to throw a rope to them to bring him out, right? Below Milan. Okay, interesting. So Tais is bothered by the Kasha. How come Yeshua ben Levi wanted to curse this guy, right, or this min, whatever the person is, right, don't we have sugyas of moridim v'lo ma'ilon? So Tosis answers, if it's a guy, the halacha is lo moridim. You're not supposed to kill him. Throwing them into the bottom of the pit is basically like killing them, no? So Tosis says, if the text in the Gemara is hahu oved kochavim, so the din is by oved kochavim, lo moridim v'lo ma'ilon. So what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi wanted to do is to injure him with the curse. He didn't want to kill him. However, if the text is minim, so then, right, so Bafilus from the Garcia who mina afabisha kofrim moridin labar naminicha divadai bikesh laro bekilolaso, but still it's labor rechara because Hakadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't do it for you. In other words, Tosis's answer is that if the text in our Gemara is Hahumina, the way we have the Gemara, so you're supposed to kill him yourself, but you're not supposed to impose it on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Tosis says. Now, the Pashtus, by the way, almost all Rishonim, almost all, there are always some Shitas HaRishonim that are different. The Pashtus is that by Akum, lo moridin, first of all, Akum does not mean a regular goy. Akum means a pagan who is, like we spoke about in the introductory shiur, someone who isn't governed by any rules of law. That's point one. Point two is that if you paskin lo moridin, that means you're not allowed to push them down. The Pashtus is you're not allowed to kill goyim. Because the Pashtus is that the Mishnah that speaks about Hakon Dev Rebetzelem, which is a simple reading of the Psukim at the end of Noach, no? B'tzelem alokim also as ha'odam means not only Jews. It's very, very, very difficult to assume that it means only Jews. It doesn't mean that there are no minority shittas out there, but normal, if you have to write a Shulchan Aruch about this, normal mainstream halacha is that minim, early Christians who are out to get the Jewish people to really hurt you, so the din is moridin. Akum, the din is lo moridin. That's the basic halacha. That's what Taisus says. So far, so good. Now, Tosis' last two lines are really important, no? Af al pi shebizman habayis hayamutu lohargo biyadayim. Taisus is severely limiting the halacha of moridin v'lo ma'ilam, no? Tosis is saying that the din of moridin v'lo ma'ilam is true only bizman habayis, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. After Korban habayis, so then the din of moridin v'lo ma'ilam no longer applies. Who took the photocopies that I made? Can someone pass me the Chazon Ish? Thank you. So in the Chazon Ish, in Yerideya Simin Beis, I actually bracketed it off just because I'm nice. In the Chazon Ish, he discusses the halacha of moridin v'lo ma'ilam. And the Chazon Ish says that this halacha no longer applies. Zok the Chazon Ish, v'nireh, de'en din moridin ela bizman sha'kachoso yisparach geluya, kimo bizman sha'yunisim mitzuyimu mishamish baskol, v'tzadikei hadar tachas hashkocha pratis haneris le'en kol, v'akofren oz, hu b'nelizus miyuchedus v'atayas hayetz v'atayvis v'hefkeiros. V'oz ha'yabir v'sham gitro sha'olam sha'ko yadu ki adokas hadar, maybe Puranas Olam, or maybe Dever Vechevra Ba'olam. Zak the Chazon Ish, that the din of Maritin Velomainon is only at the time when the Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Geluya Le'in Kol. Everybody sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealed. There are Nisim for everybody. Tzadikim, everybody sees that Tzadikim has special protection from Hashem. So at that time, getting rid of Rasha'im, who are these terrible, evil, really, really, really bad people, right? That makes sense because that shows that the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more revealed in the world. Aval, bizman ha-helen, shenichrisa ha-emuna min dalas ha-am, at the time that God is hidden, and emuna is cut off from dalas ha-am. Average people don't have emuna. Ein b'maisa horada geder ha-pirza, ela hosafas ha-pirza. Zok l'chazen ish, when the hashgach of Hashem is not revealed in the world, so if you want to do moridin, that will not repair the breach, rather, that will increase the breach. That will mean more people will think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved. Therefore, he writes, "Va'aleinu," and this is like the most famous words in the Chazon Ish, "Va'aleinu la'chziram ba'avosos ha'ahava ula'amidam bekeren ora ba'meshi yadenu magas." Our responsibility to Chotim bizman hazeh is "Aleinu la'moshkam ba'avosos ha'ahava." We're supposed to pull them with chains of love. Zok v'chazon ish, at the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not revealed in the world, so we should try to take the Rasha'im and drag them in, and the motion of Avos HaSa'ahava to show them love and to treat all Rasha'im as if they're Nebuch. Unfortunately, they haven't seen the light of Torah. My first year in YU, Dr. Lamb was the president. It's like a long time ago. There were like three presidents ago. So Dr. Lamb wanted us to be more tolerant. He said, Modern Orthodoxy stands for tolerance. And in order to be more tolerant, he asked Rabbi Weider, who wasn't yet... Rabbi Weider was in Shir still. He was in Rosh Hashanah Shir with me. He wasn't yet a Rebbe, but he had some official job in Yeshiva. It's like appointed that he would be a Rosh Hashanah in a couple of years. So he asked Rabbi Weider to put together a source reader on all of the halachos of tolerance to Avar Yonim Bizman Hazeh. Well, the halachos of Bizman Hazeh, we don't treat a Mechalal Shabbos like a Mechalal Shabbos anymore, no? And one of the major sources, and we used to call this the Weider reader, was this Chazon Ish in Siman Beis Yerideya. Where the Chazon Ish basically says that Bizman Hazeh, Aleinu Lamoshkam, Biavosos Ha'ahava. Now, many of the scholars point out that there's no raya to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish is not quoting any Gemaras, he's not quoting any Rishonim. That's very uncharacteristic of the Chazon Ish, no? The Chazon Ish is the most rigorous text-based individual, like, ever. And for the Chazon Ish to say Yesod without bringing Rayas is highly uncharacteristic. So, I remember getting really excited, because that year I was doing Avodah Zarah Night Seder. And I remember I see this Taisa on Daf Dalet, and Taisa says, Bizman Habayis is the only time that Maridim Olamayim applies. I say, oh, this is a riot to the Chazon Ish. And I think it's a shtickle, a riot to the Chazon Ish. The only thing is that everyone points out that these words, Bizman Habayis, that appear in the Taisa, is a later addition by printers because they were worried. You see, if you print a text that says that when you have people who are out to hurt Jews, you can like push them in the pit and let them expire on their own, or push them in, it's like you're killing them, etc. It's okay, you could kill them, you just can't have God kill them. That don't look too nice. So they decided to modify it, and the printers changed the text and they added these words, Bizman Habayis. And in fact, in the better versions of the Tisus, like our dear friend Tosus Rabbeinu Elchanan, right, who died in Kiddush Hashem in 1184. So Tosus Rabbeinu Elchanan says the same idea, but it doesn't say that the halacha moridim lomayim is only bisman habayis. This is something that was probably added to the Tosus. Again, in the back of some of you have like those fancy Ozva Hadar Gemaras. I think they print some of the Tosus in the back of the Gemara. You could look in some of the parallel Tosus in to see whether they have the words Bizman Habayis. My understanding is that Bizman Habayis does not appear in the other versions of Tosus, and it was, in all likelihood, something that was added by the printer. Is there a note in your Gemara, Shani? It looks like you're looking very intently at something.
I'm just looking at
Uh-huh. I mean, so Tosis says Bisman Habayis, it might be a raya to the Chazon Ish. Tosis, by the way, on Chavav Amibayis also says Bisman Habayis for Moridim Lo Mailan. That's the real sugya of Moridim Lo Mailan. I just don't think.
Mine says Nishana B'Shas Vilna.
What does it say?
Nishana B'Shas Vilna.
Okay, it was changed in the Vilna Shas. So when the Ram family printed the Vilna Shas in 1880 or whatever it is, right, that's kind of late. That's when they changed it. This was not an original thing in Tosis, so it's not a right. The Chazon Ish seems to like almost be giving a lumdus to defend what we know as like a fake modification within the Tosis. Okay. Should we go on? Oh, actually, one more point within Tosis. What would be the halacha if it's a goy? Are you allowed to kill a goy? So the way we have the Tosis, absolutely not. No, if the gear says Akum, so what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi wanted to do is just injure. Tosis Rabbeinu Elchanan writes, not that I understand any of this, Tosis Rabbeinu Elchanan writes, you're not allowed to kill Goyim. Tosis answers, Yishlam mitza'er le'tuva shani. If you bother him a lot, then you are allowed to kill him. Wow, that's a kula.
If you bother him.
If the guy is bothering you a lot, mitzayr le'tuva, right? That's what's going on with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, right? This min, akum, whatever it is bothering him tremendously, so that's why you're allowed to kill him. That's wild. No? That's wild. You can only understand that if the Tosis Rabbeinu Elchanan is really working with the shita that fundamentally the Isser Shvichas Damim does not apply to non-Jews, which is very, very difficult. In other words, the Isser Shvichas Damim applies to non-Jews. Non-Jews can't kill. The Isser Lo Tzirtzach applies to Jews. There's no Isser Lo Tzirtzach for a Jew to kill a non-Jew. That's almost impossible to say, right? Doesn't that like go against every ounce of our everything? Right, but the Pasht, I don't know how to learn this Tosis Rabbeinu Elchanan unless he's saying something along those lines. Okay, should we go on in the Gemara? Tana Mishmei to Reb Meir. Oh, Tana Mishmei to Reb Meir. B'shosh amlochem meinichem kisrein b'roshehen u'mishtachem l'chama miyad koeis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the kings put their crowns on and they bow down to the sun, God gets angry. When do the kings bow down to the sun?
The third hour.
Why? Because kings are sleeping until, right? Zman Kriya Shema is, right? You guys all learned the beginning of Brachas, right? Zman Kriya Shema is the yav until the end of the third hour. Why? Because kings sleep. By the way, is it kings or is it princes? The two girsas in that Gemara, no? Is it B'nai Malachim or Malachim? Now, some argue that maybe the princes have absolutely nothing to do with their lives other than, what's his name? Prince Charles. The man's like 70 years old and he's been playing polo his entire life. It's kind of, right? It's amazing. He's done absolutely nothing.
The queen also
goes. The queen. But the queen at least is the queen.
Yeah. He's just waiting until...
He's waiting until mom dies. Right? And then you got to feel really bad for Harry because he's got to wait for two people to die. Right?
And his brother.
Harry and William. Well, only one of them. I think Harry's going to be the king, not William, right?
Yeah, but William's the king.
William?
Harry's the
partier. Whatever it is. But there's some biography about Prince Charles that he has his butler put toothpaste on his toothbrush every morning for him.
Yeah, of course.
And that was like... the extreme. Like, come on, what, you can't put... How hard is it to put toothpaste on the toothbrush? I know, he's a prince, but come on. So, there are two gerses in the Gemara, whether it's B'nai Malachim or the Melech, the Shagas Aryeh in a tshuva in Simin Hay discusses, is man Kriya Shema until the end of the third hour or the beginning of the third hour? The Shagas Aryeh points out that maybe the two different Gemaras, one is B'nai Malachim, one is the Malachim, maybe the B'nai Malachim sleep all 3 hours, and the Malachim, the king at least, wakes up at the beginning of the third hour. And depending on that, maybe that's the answer to this theory in the Gemara. So is Man Kriya Shema is till the end of the third hour or not? That's like a razzle-dazzle, Shagas Aryeh. And again, we know Man Kriya Shema because you open the calendar till the end of the third hour. That's really the way it works. Oh. So when the kings put their crowns on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. Now, the pashtus, if I put these two Gemaras together, is that the time of God's anger coincides with that moment that the kings are bowing down to the sun. So it would be in the last hour of the 3 hours. And that's the way Tosfos learns, no? Tosfos Dibur Maaseh B'Tlas says, Bishlishis, in the third of the 3 hours. Rashi in Brachos on Daf Zayin, right? Did any of you look at this Rashi? So Rashi in Brachos says, all 3 hours, no?
No, but you refer to all 3 hours as a time frame.
The time, God's anger is not limited to the third of the 3 hours. God's anger could be at any moment during those 3 hours, according to Rashi. L'cha'oira. And some point out that Rashi and Tosis are disagreeing. Okay, it's possible entirely. And therefore, the next Gemara that says, don't daven musif. Right? Amrav Yosef. Next Gemara. Let's just try to go through this. This is halacha lamaisa, this Gemara. Amrav Yosef. Well, litzli inish tzelusa de musafi, betroshai kamaisa, diyoma, biyoma kama de reshata, biyachid. Dilma came in the mifkadina, dilma ma'aini, but with David, dafule, midri. Right? You shouldn't daven musif biyachidus during the first 3 hours of Rosh Hashanah, because since they are mafkidine, since they are investigating your din, they might knock you off, they might push you aside. Right? That's what the Gemara says.
But you're dominating anyways. Like, you might be dominating Shach, then you're dominating Shach right during those hours too.
So the Gemara continues. If that's the case, the Tzibur should also not daven. So it says, no, Tzibur has a lot of Zechuyos. If that's the case, a Yochid should not daven Shachris. So for the Yochid, it's not a problem. Since there's a Tzibur who's davening, you won't be Nidche. So the only Isser is, don't daven Musif during the first 3 hours of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. A few problems in this Gemara. First of all, the Magen Avraham understands that l'cha'ora there is a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos that we mentioned a few minutes ago about whether it's only in the third hour or whether it's all 3 hours. And therefore, the Magen Avraham is bothered by a problem. Why don't you daven b'yichidus in the first 2 hours? Let's say you can't make it to Shom Rosh Hashanah. By the way, Alpi Kabbalah, the Magen Avraham quotes, those who don't blow shofar in the first... don't blow shofar in the first 3 hours of the day in Rosh Hashanah. There's some story about that there was a machlokas when Napoleon was attacking Russia. There's a machlokas in the Hasidic Rebbes whether they're supposed to daven for the Russians or they're supposed to daven for Napoleon. Who's supposed to win? No? So the Alter Rebbe of Chabad insisted that year that they're supposed to blow shofar in Tfilah Shachris, not in Tfilah Musif. And since the Alter Rebbe blew first, the Alter Rebbe won, and that's why Napoleon won the war or something, no? That's what Hasidim say. It's a beautiful Hasidish story, amazing. It's against the Magen Avraham, no? Because the Magen Avraham says, don't blow shofar. Right? That Magen Avraham, Tav Kuf Tzadi Aleph that I gave you, says don't blow shofar in the first 3 hours of Rosh Hashanah either. Okay. Why does the Gemara... why does the Gemara say only the first day of Rosh Hashanah? You notice that? Lo litzli inish tzelusa de musafi b'tzloshay kamaisa diyoma biyoma kama de reshata. The first day of Rosh Hashanah. So it could be...
You gave us a hint before Rosh Hashanah because you said that in the coming davening you get to know in the actual moment of dinner Rosh Hashanah.
Maybe. But that's sort of over here. I mean, this Gemara is when the moment of din is. Is the moment of din day one of Rosh Hashanah or day two of Rosh Hashanah? So we assume that's a Yom Arichta. That's your kasha?
No, but don't we, the thing we say at night, right? Right. Like, Shana Tova, we say with the same thing. So, like, in third grade, we learn that.
But Loshana Tova to Kosev is a Chosem. So there's a machlokas between the O Yerab and the other Achronim, whether you say Loshana Tova to Kosevi, Vesei Chosemi, or Te Chosevna, Vesei Chosemna, right? It's like, it's awesome. Like, you get to practice your Hebrew conjugations. But there's a machlokas haposim, do you say it the second day of Rosh Hashanah? That machlokas is gufa this point.
So, when you learn it in elementary school, you learn that the judgment is the first night, not the second night.
Oh! So they taught you in elementary school a Zohar! The Zohar, right? That the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Yom Din Akashya. The second din is Yom Din Arafya. The first day of Rosh Hashanah, God is severe din. And then afterwards, it loosens up. Shani,
I heard two things. One, that you're supposed to like have a really big deal the first day of Rosh Hashanah because you're supposed to assume that you...
We'll get to that enough, hey.
And the other thing is that I thought the first day was like you're judged on a personal level, and the second day it's like the seaboard.
Possibly. I'm not sure. I just know that this Gemara, the way we have the text, is saying something about the first day of Rosh Hashanah as being din. Rabbeinu Chananel, on the side of the Gemara. Right, you saw this? In my Gemara, you have Rabbeinu Chananel on your margin? Amar Rav Yosef. I have like a Yerushalmi and like four lines on top of that. Amar Rav Yosef, Volitzli Inish Beresh Shata, Tzelusa Demusav Betlashay Kamaisa. He says at the beginning of the year on Rosh Hashanah, he does not say Yamakama de Rosh Hashanah. Avinu Chananel does not say the first day of Rosh Hashanah, no? You get the impression that all of Rosh Hashanah is the same thing. Okay. Now, the kasha that the Magen Avraham and everybody asks on Rashi is, according to Rashi, I should be able to daven Musaf at the beginning of the first 3 hours, right? Or, not according to Rashi, according to Taisvis, I said it backwards. According to Taisvis, the only time that there's really din is in the third hour. So daven Musaf in hour one and two. Right, go to a super hashgamming. By the way, that would take talent, no? To finish all of Rosh Hashanah, like Shacharis and Musaf. I guess if it's B'yachidus, you don't
you
have Piyutim.
Before,
huh?
You start before and then you extend into.
Maybe. I mean, I have to admit, the year my son was born in Yom Kippur and I was davening on Yom Kippur B'yachidus, it's like a totally different experience. Now, without Piyutim, without like the tzibur singing, like, it's like... Also, my shul was like so happy that they had Yom Kippur without the rabbi, but that's a different story. But the Tosis Rabbeinu Elchanan is bothered by this kasha also. Tosis Rabbeinu Elchanan asks, if it's only in the third hour that there's a problem, so then why don't you daven Musaf early? Miu kasha, im kein besamuch, litzli shapit salusa de Musafi, bereshata kodem gemoshals. Daven Musaf before 3 hours. Vinirali, Tosis Rabbeinu Elchanan answers, says the Tosis Rabbeinu Elchanan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get angry after, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, it will undo your tefilas hamusif that happened beforehand. The anger of God will kind of knock off what you had until now.
So why don't we never daven into the third hour? Like, why not push off all shachar and talk the third hour?
So Talia is asking very good kasha. Let's look at Rashi over here for a second. Rashi writes, Rashi begins like din deloksiv be emes. So Rashi writes, Musafi kol hashana hein shevach v'sipure maisa. Musaf of all year is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's telling stories about Karbanis. Avo Musaf Rosh Hashanah, mitok shom esval ha-malach yasekhrona shofaros, mifgedin ha-tvei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is investigating your din, v'ayifar shod ha-matzu menat zibor, don't be pirish menat zibor, so only daven after the third hour, b'yachidus, when the zibor is already davening. Because if you're daven by yourself, you're going to be really in trouble. Now the Magen Avraham, in that same Aramakam, the end of Tav Kuf Tzadi Aleph, he says, one second, let's analyze the Rashi's of the Magen Avraham. What Rashi is saying is that Musaf all year is just stories about they brought Karbanos. Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, right, that's Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then you're really asking for stuff. So says the Magen Avraham, 1 second. Shachris all year. Mincha all year. Well, you can't daven in the first 3 hours. Shachris all year. Right? You're asking God for stuff, aren't you?
Meaning, like, doesn't he say that? Musa does, it's not called Yom Chakras, it's not called Yom.
Again?
Musa is not called, it's not called Yom
Chakras,
is it? So, at least the way.
So that is, since Musa is not called Yom, you could daven after. Chakras, you're supposed to daven beforehand. Okay.
And then, I mean, we apply the Kali concept, it doesn't work here, but then it's Musa.
But first of all, Chakras is not Zman within the first 3 hours. Because Zman Tefillah is hour 4. Now maybe I should never daven Shachris. Maybe I should say Kriya Shema early. And don't daven Shachris within the first 3 hours. Because if I'm going to daven B'yechidos, don't daven Shachris. A Chumra to daven late.
And there's also the fact that we know that means it's the preferable time. So
if you so you're already thinking like the Mishnah Berurah. First I got to explain the Magen Avraham, then we can do the Mishnah Berurah.
What?
Right? Yeah, quickly.
I'm sorry.
But the Magen Avraham Paskins don't daven Shachris in the first 3 hours. Because Shachris, you're also asking for stuff. And basically, when you ask for stuff, God is going to investigate you. Because if you're asking, God's going to say, oh, do you really deserve it? Maybe she isn't as good as she thinks. And God's going to investigate you. And if God investigates you, you're going to suffer if you're davening b'yechidus. So only daven with a minyan. Or don't daven b'yechidus within the first 3 hours of the day. A regular shachris. That's what the Magen Avraham writes. A chumra to daven late. The Mishnah Berurah writes, what shin talking about? Right? The Mishnah Berurah in that Mara Makam I gave you in the Shar HaTzion in Tav Kuf Tzadi Aleph, the Mishnah Berurah says, 1 second. Right? The Latihila mentioned, you're ideally supposed to daven b'yechidus. Right? The Mishnah speaks, the idea is supposed to daven, no, didn't mean that. You're ideally supposed to daven at Hanetzachama, Kivosikin. Right? The Mishnah speaks about someone's in the mikvah, right, and then you daven right away. Presumably there's no minion of people in the mikvah with you, no? Presumably, I don't know, right? But the idea is that you're supposed to daven earlier. That's the proper time. So the Mishnah Berurah says, this halacha does not apply to a regular shachris, it's a halacha only about musaf. So next time, Emir Tzah Hashem, read that stapler that you have. I gave you the Kehilas Yaakov, the stapler. The stapler is the Chazon Ish's brother-in-law. You should read it, and we'll discuss it. Try to get through the Gemara. Ideally, I'd like to get to the two dots on Hey Amid Beis already. We have to get to, like, real Gemara. We have to break out of Agadata. I know Agadata is fun. I'm enjoying it also. But we got, right? Tehila's thinking that, like, she wants real sugyas.
She's not ready for that.
Not ready for real sugyas? You just want to stay with Agadata all year?
I do.
You do. Okay, so we have one vote for Agadata, but my guess is that you'd be outvoted. I'm not sure.
I second that.
Second that? All year Agadata?
I love Agadata.
I like Agadata also, but you know what? We can discuss that next time. I gotta make a shuttle back.